open with me to Luke chapter 2. We'll begin each week to look at the Nativity. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to be reading verses 8 to 14, but I really just want to focus on one particular verse that's going to tie in with the message, the true spirit of Christmas. Follow along. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. May God bless our hearts with the reading of His Word. Interesting enough that the first people who were told that the long-awaited Messiah had finally arrived were shepherds abiding, watching their flock on the fields in Bethlehem. I mentioned, I think, this Wednesday night, so for those that were here, forgive me for being redundant, but it's important to know why. God was speaking through the scriptures and through the angel that this little babe is much like those sacrificial lambs that those shepherds were raising on the fields of Bethlehem to be taken to the temple to be sacrificed. That the ultimate and last sacrifice was a human being, God in the flesh, in the city of David, a Savior, the Lord Jesus. It was not a coincidence. It was by God's design that Jesus was born in a lowly stable. It pictured Him as a sacrifice. And it was those lowly shepherds that received that wonderful message. For unto you is born this day the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ is just a transliteration from the word Messiah. We know that Messiah had been prophesied for many, many, many years to God's people, the Jews, through the prophets. They did not know His name was Jesus. They would not have known that because Mary didn't even know. She was told by Gabriel, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Let us begin in prayer. Father, we look to You that the Holy Spirit be our teacher, and that the Holy Spirit would bring all of us who are Your children, sealed with Your Spirit, into the true spirit of Christmas. I know that this can be difficult to understand. Help me, O God, to be a help to Your people, that we will be a shining light in a dark world that we're living in, by bringing back the truth, speaking it in our testimony and in our families and in our workplaces to Your glory. Help me to be helped now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Christmas time is almost here, and oh, by golly, Do you really want to deck the halls with the boughs of holly? You might be like so many, left indifferent by the commercialism and the secularism of Christmas. We have to rise above. Do you long, like I do, for a simpler time? When the season, it felt special. It permeated with a godly spirit. While the holiday season does bring sentiments of joy and celebration for many, the reality is for others it is a time of isolation, separation, and even depression. We must be the bearers of the truth that was given by the angel to the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And if you're saved, it is Christ my Lord. Amen. Christmas time is a time when we are pressured to have everything perfect, which is kind of odd because we don't live in a perfect world. Many people suffering loss, all different kinds of losses, loss of job, loss of health, loss of loved ones. In fact, numerous studies, I mean, you just need to Google it, you'll find out, confirm that there is an increase in both numbers and severity of 911 calls by many depressed individuals during the holiday season. What these people need is the message that unto them is born a Savior. But how are they going to know that? Interesting enough, God had to send an angel. It didn't seem to me at the time that too many prophets were speaking about it. And I think we're in the same boat now. There isn't too many people who are Christians who are speaking up about it. We've been shut down and shut up. Why? Because secularism doesn't want to hear it. Good night. You can't even put up Merry Christmas in a lot of places. As I said last week, that's a shame because I gave you the history. During Ulysses Grant presidency became a federal holiday to celebrate the birthday of the Savior of the world. And that points back to a nation that was founded upon a Judeo-Christian ethic. But we've lived in times where they want to unravel that. They want to rewrite America's history. We must declare, for unto you is born in the city of David a Savior. You know, discouragement is not unique to December. I want you to know that. It's just reality. But it certainly can be amplified. Our expectations may be higher. Our sadness deepened. It seems like if things aren't going perfect, we can get discouraged very, very quickly. Do you want to recapture some of the wonder of Christmas that you might remember from long ago, and that true spirit of Christmas that used to permeate so boldly and proudly? You can. You can. We must proclaim the message that the angel gave to these lowly shepherds. Let's just ponder the verse for a minute. Look at verse 11. The angel, the Bible says, tells the shepherds, for unto you. It's personal, isn't it? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... Are you a whosoever? Absolutely. The message was personal. So is your salvation. And it can only come by the Savior. are you saved? So I think probably the number one problem about getting the message of Christmas is we have a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but they're not. And so the true spirit, the true meaning of Christmas doesn't permeate in their heart. They're so caught up on so many other things. But the angel said, for unto you, why would he say that? Because we're all sinners. For unto you is born this day. You say, well, why did he say in the city of David? Because he was authenticating and substantiating what the prophets had said for hundreds of years. This is the Christ child. He is born where the prophet said he would be born. In Bethlehem of Judea. And so he truly is the Messiah. He is Christ of the Lord. Emmanuel, as Isaiah said. God with us. Some people who lack the Christmas spirit are very discouraged. This is the message of encouragement. I have never been so encouraged as when I first was saved. Amen. The Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ, behold, he is a new creature. New. Anewed. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. There are people out there on drugs. And we have a big problem in our own town, if we're going to be honest and transparent about our own town. They need the Lord. And at this church, we've got to do better. We can do better. We must do better. And if Christ is truly in us, we truly have the spirit of Christmas, we know that he deserves the preeminence. We're losing that. I grew up with that in the church that I was nurtured in. Always give him the preeminence. So I got to do this, I got to do that. Yeah, but if you keep Christ first, all these things shall be added unto you. Didn't Jesus say that? Yeah. He said, I know what you need. There's not anything that you long for or need that our Lord doesn't know all about. And I think sometimes we wind up discouraged because we're so caught up in the flesh. I need this. I want that. This shouldn't have happened to me. That shouldn't have happened. We're losing the idea of preeminence. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That says, give him the preeminence in your life. Seek God first in everything and in his righteousness. Try to live your life to be a witness. And all these things shall be added unto you. All the things he talked about prior in that passage. And then he said, take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You all know that. I shouldn't even have to read that. You know that. So what am I saying? I'm saying the message that is needed, loud and clear, is the message from the church. Christ came to the world to redeem sinners. And he can give you a new life. He can get you off those drugs. He can get you out of that immoral lifestyle. You can be changed. I tell you, that verse revolutionized my life. I was on the brink of thinking, you know, I become a Baptist or a Protestant, I'm going to die and go to hell for all eternity. And Satan had me in his chains. And I knew the truth in the depths of my soul because it was the word of God. Satan didn't want to let go. But when I did, old things passed away. Man, I grew up in one of the worst cities in the country at the time. And I learned some nasty things. I talked in a nasty way. And you had to be tough. But I didn't need that toughness. I needed Christ. He gave me a new life. Don't we want that for everybody? Always think back to the Christian movie, The Music Box. How many saw The Music Box? We showed it here a number of times. The Music Box. Remember the man, he found a box and he opened it up and it just played the most beautiful music. It just soothed his soul. And he was dancing in joy, just running around everywhere. Now, it's all metaphoric. And then others would come around and he'd close it. Like, this is mine. And all through the movie, he had to learn that was something to share. Not to hide your light under a bushel. Share it. And then when he shared it, everybody around him was having happy spells. I don't know how many people I've led to Christ, but God gets the credit. I just appreciate that God could use me because I want people to have what I have. How could we be so selfish not to be encouraging the lost? They need the message that unto them a Savior was born. And there are angry people out there. They are angry with God because of the hardships that they're involved with. And Christmas time just brings up all that anger and bitterness towards Almighty God. And for others, God is just completely absent from their lives. But I suggest to you today that no matter what the circumstances are, one can still have the true meaning of Christmas if they have the true spirit of Christmas. Amen? And you know, people are always talking about, I can't seem to get into the Christmas spirit. How many have heard that? You know, I just can't seem to get into the spirit. Well, this message is about letting the spirit of Christmas get into you. And isn't that what the angel is saying in verse 11? For unto you need to be saved. You get saved, you accept God's provision for your salvation, He's going to make you a new creature. You know, all that stuff you did that you regret, gone. That God says, as far as the east is from the west, I remove your transgressions from you. I've given you a new life. You're a new person. I remember when I was very immature as a Christian and these things from my past would bother me. And my pastor got a hold of me and he said, if God put it all under the blood, why are you bringing it up? Amen. He not only gave me a new life, He gave me assurance of the deliverance. But before you can have the spirit of Christmas, you must have the Holy Spirit of God. You ought to be sure that you do. Before you can have the Holy Spirit, you must have the Christ of Christmas. The indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit can only come by being born again. And those of you here Wednesday night, isn't that what Romans 8 was about? We talked about it. If you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit. And please don't manufacture in your mind that you're saved if you're not. Because it ain't going to do you any good. You're never going to be different. Trust me, I tried it. Now I've cried to God and said, God, I'm trying, but I can't see. I seem like I'm getting worse, not better. So when I learned that day, you can't get better to get saved. You got to get saved to get better. You'll never get better till you do get saved, because all you have is an old, depraved nature. But the wonderful truth is you can have a new life. How many people do you know out there as you walk through the doors of this church that's exactly what they need? And someone said, well, I know they need a job. Yeah, maybe they do. Oh, well, they need a car. Oh, yeah, maybe they do. And God bless you if you want to help them with that. But the greatest thing they need is to be saved. You can get them a new car, and they can still get drunk and crash that car, kill themselves and other people. He is the Savior of the world. And if the church was proactive to the point that it ought to be, we wouldn't be in the mess that we are. Listen, please, perk up just for a few minutes. If you're saved, you're born again. You know when you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord, not because you deserve it. God has given every born-again believer an endowment, or we could call it a gift, because it comes from the Greek word grace. That gift never stops giving. It is the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. It is a gift. You cannot lose it. You can bury it, but can't lose it. The Christmas season has spiritual meaning that can serve, I think, as a source of renewal of our faith. And here's what I mean by that. Those gifts God gave you so you would serve Him by serving others. You know why we don't have the spirit of Christmas? Because we're not doing what the Lord's told us to do. Number one, we serve God. And the way we serve God is we take the gift He gave us and we serve others, because others need encouragement. Others need deliverance. Others need the Savior, the unsaved. Perfect example of that is what happened in our church this past week. Ada was very discouraged, can't breathe, in pain, not getting any relief. The church people pulled together and realized, you know what? Yeah, Christmas is coming, but it's more blessed to give than receive. And every one of those people who gave, know in their heart they made a difference. Then you'll get back the true meaning of Christmas. We're buying stuff from these stores today to make the stores rich, but we're not making God's church rich. This gift of the indwelling Spirit of God is within every believer. So if you're saved, it's in you. That is what makes you a Christian. That is what Jesus said makes you born again. So I don't believe in that verse. Well, then you don't believe in Jesus. I don't have time to preach on it. Go to John chapter 3 this afternoon. Read it. Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again, for that which is flesh, that which is spirit. His confusion was, what did you mean? I got to go back and be my mother's womb, be born again? No, that which is water, that which is spirit. If the Spirit of God is not there, Paul said, and the students that were here Wednesday night, we hammered on this verse. If the Spirit of God is not there, we are none of His. Paul said it like this, Romans 8, 9. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of His. And I know that might unravel a few feathers here, but there are two families in this world, the family of God and the family of Satan. Well, I don't like that kind of talk. I understand. I didn't make it up. Jesus said this to the Pharisees. By the way, these were the religious leaders of the day who were leading God's people astray. They were making them, Jesus said, two more times, the child of Satan. Can you imagine that? What a say. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of His. Jesus said, you don't belong to me, you Pharisees. Ye are of your father, the devil. Wow. Praise God that Jesus had meekness but also boldness. Amen. He told them, you don't belong to me. You're not saved. You're doing everything you're doing to be seen of men. You're misleading God's people. Though a person is religious, maybe they've been a member of a church for years, and though they maybe attend all the meetings, and they've signed the Constitution, and go through all the ceremonies, they've done all the rituals, doesn't mean anything. Salvation is not of works. Now, we're not saying that those things aren't profitable, but they can't save you. Ephesians 2:8-9, most of you know it. For by grace are you, take it personal, saved. For by grace, that's God's part. Grace is unmerited favor. It means you don't deserve it, I don't deserve it. But God gave it as a gift. It's not of yourself. You can't save yourself. It's a gift of God. And that's the message the world needs to hear, that the gift of God was He sent His Son to be the Savior and to give the person who needs to be saved a new life. All things will pass away if you put your faith and trust in Him. And that message is not getting out there. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 15, he said, thanks be to God for that unspeakable gift. Look that word up in Koine Greek. English doesn't even begin to give us the definition. It's unimaginable, the gift that God gave, that He could take us sinners. And Paul said in Romans 7 and 8, how wretched a man that I am. Oh, how could I be saved? Oh, wretched is my soul. Only God could save our wretched souls. This gift is made known to us by the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes the very moment we surrender. I can still see myself in my mind's eye, falling to my knees in tears, broken. And when I got up, there was something new. I felt cleansed. Also felt guilt. I didn't deserve it. Not one bit. We can't thank God enough. And that's why I'm preaching to you. Give Him the preeminence. If we do, our church will be better. Our church will grow stronger. We'll learn to love each other better. Not only does He give the believer the gift, but He gives us the assurance, a guarantee of the assurance of our salvation. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know why He gives us that? Because even though He's given us a new life, the honest to God truth is we still have this depraved flesh. 1 John says we have to confess our sins. And if we say we have no sin, then we make Him a liar, and the truth is not in us. Because, yes, we've been given a new life, but we still fall prey to sinfulness. We don't want to live in it. We know it's wrong to live in sin, but we do fall into it. And we might think, oh, I must not be saved. No, we're saved. We're just wretched. Assurance is our guarantee from God. He will keep His promise, as He said in Titus 1:2. God promised eternal life, and God cannot lie. He gives us assurance. You know, this time of the year, it's kind of interesting. I bought a few things on Amazon, and you get a guarantee of assurance. A guarantee of insurance. It's an offer or added feature to an expensive gift. And don't you just love it when you barely have enough money to buy the gift, that appliance or that watch or whatever it is that you're purchasing for your loved one, and then the clerk or the Amazon window pops up and it says, for $29.95, you can have this insurance. Well, praise God, we don't have to pay for the assurance that God gives. Amen. Jesus said, and it's a beautiful passage in John, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He knows your soul. He knows if you're saved. He knows if you've been born again. He knows if you're His child. And He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. I give eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus says, my Father which gave them to me is greater than all. No man is able, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He concluded by saying, I and my Father are one. He declared oneness with the Father. And at that point, the Jews took up stones to stone him to death. Because according to the law, he had just committed blasphemy to declare that he is God. But he is. I have to hurry. The last point of the message has to do with the blessedness in the giving. And I shared a little bit of that with you already, how this week the church came together and died to self and recognized we needed to be encouragement to our sister Ada. And it just felt good not to buy a earthly gift. And again, I'm not saying that's bad, but how much better it is to allow the Spirit of God that's in us to help truly the needy. You know, to battle this lack of Christmas spirit, we have an obligation as believers to serve one another. Galatians 6:1 says, we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is not anything complicated. It is love God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Are we doing that? Christmas is about helping others, and that goes a long way in celebrating a joyful season. Because discouragement usually occurs when we begin to focus on ourselves. I learned many years ago that just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm exempt from anything that comes anybody else's way. I'm praying right now for two brothers in the Lord, two pastors, Pastor Marty Schott and Pastor Joe Vasek, and they're on our prayer list. They need our prayers. They're not exempt from Parkinson's. They're not exempt from horrible infections. And that's what they're struggling with. They need encouragement, just like anybody else would need encouragement. They're just human beings. The only thing that makes them different is God has made them more accountable and that they exercise the gift of pastor-teacher. That, I believe, is the gift God gave me. And I know it because I had no church to preach in. I preached on the street in Philadelphia. Why? Because it was a calling. It's in your blood. You got to do it. I preached in a nursing home. No one heard me, but I preached. My pastor used to say, if you preach in a nursing home and make any mistakes, they're not going to know it. It's a good place to practice. What am I trying to tell you about that is, you have a gift. Now, your gift may not be mine, pastor, teacher, but you may have the gift of helps. You may have the gift of giving. You may have the gift of administration. There are many gifts. Go and read them in the book of Romans and Corinthians. You should develop it. Because God wants you to use that to be an encouragement to the saved and the unsaved. That is the true spirit of Christmas. That's what I've been trying to say from Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The shepherds needed to know. I mean, they were lowly people. They were the lowest of the low. So we're not very, very loved, put it that way. And you can understand why. I mean, shepherding sheep was a nasty job. And that's the field Jesus was born on. And many of them needed to be delivered from their sinfulness. And much went on, and I don't want to get into that, with shepherds. But they were the first that got the message. In Luke chapter 2, 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's personal, it's biblical, it's prophetic, and it is necessary. Christ, is he your Lord? Service is the very best way to refocus your thoughts. Remember, many years ago, Dr. Jack Hiles, he's with the Lord now, he was going through a very, very troubling time. He'd lay in his bed at night, tossing and turning and tossing and turning and fretting over a situation that was going on in his church. And he just couldn't overcome it. And he remembered this truth that I'm trying to preach to you. He got up, got dressed, he grabbed his Bible, and he walked down in Hammond. You could walk to the nearest hospital. And he went room to room, just being encouragement to people. He said when he walked out that door that night, he had a Holy Spirit spell. The Holy Spirit spell. Amen! I mean, you go and you see what troubles other people have, and praise the Lord for the situation you're in. It isn't nowhere near as bad. He just shared the gift of God's love and encouragement by using the gift God gave him. And you can do the same. Unfortunately, in the day which we live, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're like those unwanted, I guess, or maybe we should say just abandoned Christmas gifts. You know, you got 5 electric toothbrushes. Somebody gives you another one. Or maybe you got a mixer, and it's not even as good as the mixer you have. But you just tuck it away somewhere, put it in the attic, or a juicer or a razor or whatever. And those gifts are abandoned. And I'm sure if you're like me, you have those ties that are given to you, and you just don't want to wear them. But somebody else might. My wife and I have taken some of these things, and we've just given them to Goodwill, because somebody else could be encouraged by it. These are the kind of things that are, tucked away, not used, and I think we can understand that. I saw an episode one time, maybe some of you saw years ago, Everybody Loved Raymond, and Robert and Raymond would give their mom and their dad these gifts. And one day they were going to have a yard sale. And so the two boys were asked to go down to the basement and get up all the stuff. And they took this tarp off, and there was years and years of Christmas gifts just buried in the basement. Mom, you never used the toaster I gave you? It's like, well, we didn't want it. We really didn't need it. But it's not doing any good there. And that's what we do with the gifts God's given. Oh, I know God wants me to serve a gift, but I just don't want to be bothered. So many of our spiritual gifts lay dormant. These gifts are very important because they help win others to Christ. It is to be exercised according to the measure of Christ's presence within you. That's what Paul said. I didn't say that. That's coming from Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says, now concerning the spiritual gift, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You have it. You saved. You have it. Say, I don't know what it is. Well, I'll tell you how you develop it. Just start serving the Lord. How'd you do it, Pastor? Glad you asked. I could keep here an hour, but I won't. My wife and I, we wanted to help. We knew we were saved. We just felt that we weren't worthy to serve. And we said to the pastor, what can we do? He said, well, we have a youth group that meets on Tuesday night. It's called the Young People in Christ. It was like 40 kids. I'll never forget that first night we went down there and all these kids were running around, and we just sat down in a chair the whole night watching. What do we do? And then the pastor said, well, next week when you come, now that you know what you got yourself into, you guys are going to get the snacks. You're going to go in the kitchen. You're going to pour the juice in all the cups. And that's where it began. Just serving from your heart. Do you know we fell in love with those kids? We fell in love with them. I became the youth pastor. I thank God I did. I made a difference. There was one young boy. His name was Bobby Spalatini. He was always in trouble. His father left. His mother was sort of abusive. I took kind of Bobby under my wing. Just shared with him the love of Christ. Got saved, got baptized. I left many years ago, but heard that Bobby's doing well. Got a family and taking them to church. You can make a difference if you want. Or you can just serve secularism. There's some of us that can make a difference more than others because God has blessed you in that way. It's a choice. We all have choices. I want to close, let you get home so we can come back and rejoice in music and in song. The real spirit of Christmas is the joy and the peace that comes only knowing the very promises and realities that God has given us as believers, and that we can share these eternal gifts and change people's lives. You say, Pastor, I'm not saved. The greatest gift God gave was his only begotten Son. And the Bible teaches very clearly, if you will repent, if you will be like the publican, oh God, I'm a mess. I've tried, but I fail. Save me, God. I hate my sin. And you need to get to there. You need to get to that point where I hate what I do because it makes my life a mess. And when you come to that point, you'll be saved. I really wish that these advertisements on TV about the gospel would go there, because that's what people need to hear. They make it sound like, well, if you just pray this prayer. Hey, there's no magic prayer, folks. It's a matter of the heart. Amen. The Bible says that in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It's about the matter of your heart. And if you will repent, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Be sure you're saved. Father, I close this message this morning, but I also want to turn it over, Lord, to the Holy Spirit, because there may be someone or a few who've never come to the point where they have done this business for you, a business that settles eternity. Oh, help them right now say, oh God, from the bottom of my heart, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to be assured of heaven. And I cry to you, God, forgive me of my sins. I hate what sin is doing in my life. Thank you that Jesus paid for my sin, past, present, and future, on the cross. And he fulfilled the scriptures to be buried and to rise again from the dead to justify me in heaven before your holy eyes. Oh, thank you, Father, you look at me through Jesus. You see no sin. And you love me and you nurture me. And then, God, pour upon their heart the desire to share that music box, that joy, with everyone they know. And we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's take our songbook and sing our last hymn for tonight. We're only going to do one. And tonight we're going to come back and we're going to do some Christmas carols. 199, it came upon a midnight clear. Just the first stanza.